Let's take our Bibles and be reminded of why we call Jesus the Good Shepherd, because he says it in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, we're going to begin with verse 1 and read through verse 6. We've already looked at what Jesus said in regards to him being the door in verses 7 through 10. So we will go from verse 6 to verse 11 and we will finish with verse 16. John chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. And then verse 11, keeping with the shepherd theme. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds, our wills, to hear, to listen, to follow, to obey, to praise you as we understand all that is involved in our becoming sheep this morning in the call of the Lord Jesus Christ and is leading us. Father, I pray that more than just mere information, cause us to love you. More than simply perhaps recognizing that we are sheep, may we be in awe in how we became sheep. And more than recognizing that Jesus is to lead us, may we see how we are to follow. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Last week we began to look at this theme of the shepherd in the Scriptures. It is a theme that runs through, and we saw that how in the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, that God had promised that he himself would be the shepherd of his people. And we looked at a few prophecies concerning the shepherd who would come, and we saw most especially last week that it is Jesus who is that shepherd, who is the shepherd king of the flock of God. And this morning and the next few weeks, we're going to be taking a look in depth in what Jesus says in regards to his being a shepherd and our being sheep. This morning, if you're looking at your message notes, we will probably not get to number 3. And so space out your notes as you may need. And you might say, well, gee whiz, what else is there to say about Jesus being sheep and our shepherd? And I would say, just hold on and wait. Well, why should we need to know about Jesus and the shepherd? Why should we need to know so much? And my question is, why should you want to know so little? I know there are issues going on with our country. And I know that there are perhaps some issues that are going on in the life of your family, but all these things will fade and pass away. Jesus remains. And we should cast our vision upon Him. And the more that we look at Him, if we are truly converted, He does not become boring to us, but all the more beautiful. Jesus is our shepherd. What does that evoke in us? There's a story of a party of sorts that was going on. And in the midst of the party, there was a well-known actor, stage actor. And he was put upon by the people to say something, to recite, to perform for them. And so he decided that he would recite the 23rd Psalm. And so he stands before them and he gives them a great and clear oration. And there in the back is a rather simple man who just sort of shakes his head at what is going on. And so the actor is challenged by that. And at the end, he goes to the old man. He says, "Do you think that you can recite the 23rd Psalm?" And the man replied, I believe I can. And he stood before the crowd and he recited the 23rd Psalm, to which there was not one dry eye at the end. One of the guests in the party turned to the actor and said, "You gave such a strong and brilliant performance, and yet when this older man, simple man, says the very same words, there's not a dry eye in the room. What would account for that?" And the actor in his humility replied, "Though I knew the psalm, he knows the shepherd." When you think of Jesus as your shepherd, I hope that in this morning and in the coming weeks, the idea of Jesus being your shepherd will be one that wells up great emotion and pathos in you. That you will not see Jesus as a shepherd as just another name on a list of names on a white sheet of paper somewhere in your notebooks. But to think of Jesus as your shepherd. Jesus says in verse 11, before we get to really the first point, I want to make a couple of distinctions. "I am the good shepherd." And in English, the word "good" is sort of weak. I mean, vanilla is fair, strawberries good, chocolates better. You know, sort of in that sort of vein, that good is just a little bit better than fair. But that's not what Jesus is saying when he says, "I am the good shepherd." The word here for good is also translated as noble, worthy, the excellent one, and particularly the one of a kind. So Jesus is saying not just that he is better than a fair shepherd. He is saying that there is something about himself as a shepherd that makes him excellent, that makes him noteworthy, that makes him noble, that makes him worthy of our attention, that makes him like no other one. And then in the Greek, we miss it in the English, Jesus very explicitly says, "I am the only one like this." Because in the Greek, if you look at your English, it says, "I am the good shepherd." But in the Greek, it says, "I am the shepherd, the good one." I am the shepherd, the only shepherd that there is, and the only one who is noteworthy and good. Jesus, my friends, is the only shepherd for our souls. We cannot shepherd our souls, or we will end up in the wilderness waste and wild that we sang earlier. Our parents cannot sufficiently shepherd our souls. Our spouses cannot shepherd our souls. They cannot lead us into the halls of heaven. There is no other teacher, no other celebrity, no other personality who can shepherd our souls like Jesus. For Jesus says, I am the one and only one of a kind, remarkable, noteworthy shepherd for the sheep of God. I am the good shepherd. Well, let's look at what Jesus does then and is as the good shepherd. And this morning I want us to begin by looking at Jesus is the good shepherd who calls for his sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd who calls for his sheep. Looking here at verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens. Who is the him? It is the recognizable, the recognized, the official, the authorized shepherd of the sheep comes to the door. There are other pretenders who want to shepherd the flock of God, i.e. the Pharisees. They are the pretenders in verse 1 who try to climb up some other way to get at the sheep of God. But the fold of God has one shepherd, and the one shepherd comes by the recognized means to come and gather his sheep. Of course, we know, as we looked at even last week, as we read the rest of John, as we read the Gospels, the only way that God gathers his sheep is through the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. You desire to be a part of the sheepfold of God, you desire to be a part of the flock of God, then you must come by following the one shepherd. The one shepherd comes to the flock. He comes to the fold. And there is a, perhaps your translation says a porter. And the idea is that there is a sheepfold, this large contained area of which there may be many flocks. Would have been common in that day. And one door. And the porter would have allowed a recognized shepherd to come and to call for his sheep. And the way that this is done is the shepherd might come and he would give a general call. And the sheep would hear the voice or the sound or the calling, the mutterings of the shepherd. And the sheep would recognize, that is my shepherd, I must go. And we see this even in verse 3. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice in general. Who does he call? He calls his sheep. He does not call all that are in that flock. But he calls his own to himself. He does not call goats. He does not call any other animal. He calls his own sheep to himself. D.A. Carson, one New Testament writer, says, Jesus comes to the sheep pen of Judaism and calls his own sheep out individually to constitute his own flock. The assumption is that they are in some way his before he even calls them to come to himself. And this is in accordance with Scripture. The Father has already given him his own. And now Jesus is coming to call for his sheep out of this large fold in verse 1, out of the fold of Judaism. We are told in Micah chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, that it is only going to be a remnant of Israel, not all of Israel, that are rescued and follow after the shepherd. In Micah 2, 12 and 13, I will surely assemble all of you, Jacob. I will gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep in the fold, like a flock in the midst of its pasture. They will be noisy with men. That is good news. That is encouragement. That the flock of God is a large one, noisy with men. The breaker goes before them. They break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. So their king goes on before them. Here's the shepherd. Here's the king. And the Lord is at their head. The shepherd of the remnant of Israel is the shepherd king, God himself. And we are given the picture of who that is in Micah 5, 4 and 5, that chapter which is often used during the Christmas season and relating to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ coming from Bethlehem. And in those verses, and he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, his God, and they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. This one will be our peace. This shepherd is our peace. And that is exactly who Jesus is. He is the one who brings us peace with Almighty God as he calls us to faith in himself. Jesus calls out of one flock And as he is speaking here to the Pharisees and the scribes, he is meaning the flock of Israel. Out of that flock, there will be those that he calls. And notice that he calls them, and yet there's also another group that he calls in verse 16. You see that? I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. So there's a fold that he calls out of in verse 3, and there's a fold or a grouping that he calls out of in verse 16. Well, who is that other grouping? Well, I'll tell you first who it's not. It's not, according to the Mormon cult, Native Americans. The Mormon cult teaches that verse 16 is speaking of Native Americans. Nobody in the time of Jesus would have understood that at all. In verse 16, he's speaking of the Gentiles. They too shall be added. Remember, Jesus came preaching the good news of the kingdom to the Jews first. The power of the gospel is unto salvation to the Jews first, and also to the Gentiles. It is the Lord Jesus who brings the Jews out of one flock and the Gentiles together to make one flock in verse 16. And they will become one flock with one shepherd. Keep your fingers there in John 10, and we'll see this corroborated for us over in Ephesians chapter 2. Over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul writing here, "Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision," those would be the Jews, "which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel." They were not in that initial fold of God. They were excluded and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, the barrier between Jews and Gentiles, not just between God and man, but the barrier between Jews and Gentiles, broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. So that, therefore, we see that Jesus is calling his sheep to himself out of the fold of Judaism and out of even the Gentile nations. The Lord Jesus is calling sheep unto himself from all corners of the earth, from every tribe, tongue, and nation. He is calling them to himself, and they shall be one flock. And he presents the one flock to the Father and brings peace of this one flock before the Father. The Lord Jesus calls his sheep to himself. J.C. Ryle says this in regards to this phrase in verse 16, "I have other sheep." We are the other sheep of verse 16. J.C. Ryle says, "I have other sheep." How encouraging is this? "Though they have not yet responded to his call. When Jesus says in verse 16, 'I have other sheep which are not of this fold, I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice.' This is still future oriented. The work of the Gentiles was yet to begin. And yet Jesus already considered them his, because the Father had already given them to him. Though they have not, says Ryle, yet responded to his call, yet he has them. Be encouraged to keep on praying and keep on speaking, that all those that Jesus has will yet enter the fold." This is a prophecy and a promise combined, that they would hear Christ's voice speaking to them in the gospel preached, and hearing they would believe and obey. It was a promise that would encourage his apostles to preach to the pagans. They will listen, they will be converted, and they will follow me. It is a sentence that should nerve and cheer every missionary, of which you and I are missionaries. Christ still has many that he is yet to call, and he will call them through us. Jesus calls sheep into his flock. John Newton, in writing on this issue of Jesus being the shepherd, encourages us again. He knows where to find them, his sheep. He knows where to find them and when to call them. And when his time has come, one word or one look from Jesus can disarm them in a moment and bring them humbly to his feet. When they are thus made willing in the day of his power, he takes them under his special care. And whoso touches them touches the apple of his eye. He, the good shepherd, guides and guards and feeds and strengthens them. He keeps them night and day, waters them every moment, and will not suffer any to pluck them out of his hand. Jesus calls sheep to himself for the purpose of caring for them. Jesus calls. The sheep do not go on their own accord. They do not leave their former folds on their own, but only in response to the voice of Jesus. To him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. Notice that, yes, he calls his own sheep to himself, but notice how he calls. Not just with a general call, but he calls them, how? By name. He calls them by name in verse 3. Think of this, beloved. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been brought into the fold of faith? It is because not just that you heard the call in general, but Jesus called you by name. Now, some of you, that causes worry. But for a moment, ponder this. That Jesus calls you specifically. Does he not also have specific plans to care for you? He calls you specifically by name into his kingdom. Do you think then he is going to be unmindful of you once you are in? No, he who calls you by name into faith has eternal plans for you also by name. Do not miss this tender and intimate knowledge that the Savior has of his sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. Dear believer, Jesus knows you by name. You're not one of the fuzzy faces in the mass of his flock. He has you in sharp vision ever before him. And he knows you by name. He is not just generally caring for you as one in a million. He cares for you as the one in the million. Notice the great knowledge of our Savior for you, even as he calls you specifically into the flock. We see that he calls the sheep. And we see that he calls even by name, but we must ask the question this morning, well, what does Jesus call out? How does Jesus call us to himself? Well, what does he say when he stands at that door, this symbolic door of the flock, of the fold? What is it that Jesus says that calls us to himself? Well, it's not, who wants to be a millionaire? It's not, who wants to be a better you? The voice of Jesus calls out, as he did in his very first sermon, repent and believe. the kingdom of God is at hand. The voice of Jesus calls us away from our sins and to a Savior who will rescue us from the wrath due our sins. Our Jesus calls you by name. Give up the wrath that you are facing and come to me. And the sheep gladly come. They recognize his voice. The voice of Jesus calls us away from judgment and into forgiveness and acceptance. And how many times have we seen in the scriptures already, in Micah and in Ephesians, peace? Not just with tolerance from God, but the end of war. As we come on his terms, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus' voice calls us to his cross. To see this as the only satisfaction for our soul's penalty. He calls us to pick up our cross. Not just to wear it around our necks. And to follow after him. Jesus' voice calls to us, all you who are weary and heavy laden, with all of your sins and all your own works righteousness, trying to overcome those sins, all of you who are weary and heavy laden with a sense of God's burdening guilt upon your shoulders, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, come unto me. And surely I will give you rest. It was those who refused the voice of God in Psalm 95 who could not enter into the rest promised. Jesus says, repent, believe, the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus calls all you who are weary and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Jesus' voice is the voice that says, die to self daily. Pick up your cross and follow me. As we think about Jesus' voice calling out, notice the reactions of the sheep. And this would be perhaps some points of application for us this morning. Notice how the sheep respond. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He calls, they follow. Now, here's perhaps a question of application. How much am I listening for the voice of Jesus? How much am I listening to the voice of Jesus? Where am I going to hear the voice of Jesus? Are we not going to hear it from his word? Surely we will. We may even hear his voice through godly parents and godly friends. Are we listening for the voice of Jesus? Are we refusing to hear the voice? Again, Psalm 95, today, notice if you'll go back this afternoon and notice that, you know, well, let's just look at this here in Psalm 95 very quickly. We sing the song, and it's right to do, to sing the song that we did this morning, but it doesn't end. The verse does not yet end when the song does. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker, in verse 6 there. Verse 7, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And we want to stop. But there's a responsibility there. If I'm going to be one of his sheep following after him, then I cannot harden my heart and not follow him. When he speaks, I must follow. Verse 7, he is our God and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you would hear his voice, do not harden his heart. Do not harden your hearts. That all goes together. So if we're going to be glad
if we're going to be satisfied that Christ is my shepherd, then when he speaks, I must follow. I should not harden my heart. When Jesus speaks to you children, to honor your father and your mother, will you follow? When Jesus speaks to you Christian, to speak the name of Christ to one near you, will you follow? Parent, when Jesus speaks and perhaps lays a nation on your children's heart to go and die there for the name of Jesus, will you allow them to follow? When Jesus speaks to love your enemy at work, will you follow? Jesus calls. And certainly those are applications, but the main application is this. Today, if Jesus says, give up your sins and follow me, will you follow? Will you be done with living life in your own terms under the judgment of God and not follow after Christ, the Good Shepherd? The Good Shepherd seeks to give life and to give it abundantly. Will you not follow Jesus? He alone is the one who leads you out of the fold of judgment. He alone is the one who calls you this morning to follow him into eternal life. Will you not follow Jesus and align yourself with him as your only shepherd? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Jesus is the good shepherd that calls his sheep unto himself. Secondly, this morning, I want us to see that Jesus is the good shepherd who leads his sheep. And this is very closely tied with the first one. That's why I wanted to try to do these two together, because there is some overlapping. Because in verse 3, we see it almost as one action. To him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. How does Jesus lead us? And notice that it's Jesus leading us, the sheep. He leads us. In some Western civilizations, in Europe, in England, even in Australia, shepherding is done differently than it was in the East. In Europe and in England and in Australia, maybe it's the idea that you have, but there are perhaps dogs involved, and the shepherd stands behind the flock and he drives them in front of him. But here, in the Eastern context, in the Middle Eastern context, the shepherd went before the flock, and the flock followed. Why would the shepherd do that? Because it was a means of care and protection. His marking the way for the sheep, for them to follow, to know where the right path was, where the sure path was, where the safe path was. This shepherd leads out his sheep. He leads us, to begin with, in this life, down paths of righteousness. Did we not even read that last week in Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And one of the things the shepherd does, he leads us in paths of righteousness. Ezekiel 37:24, my servant David, speaking of the shepherd king again, my servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd, and they will walk
in my ordinances and keep my statutes and observe them. Even with Jesus as our shepherd, he calls us into the way of holiness. So as you ask yourself the question, am I allowing Jesus to lead me? Ask the question, am I following in paths of righteousness? Is my life marked by righteousness and holiness? It is true that Jesus leads us in this life down paths of righteousness. He also leads us even now to the right hand of the Father. Think of the imagery there in Ephesians chapter 2, that now the Son has, well, let me back up. Just you put what you just wrote as a number 3. I'll back up to number 2. Because the Lord Jesus not only in this life leads us in paths of righteousness, but he also leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. He is the firstborn. He is the first fruit of the dead. He himself, having been put to death on the cross and raised 3 days later, raised to new life, raised to resurrected life. And we follow after him. He has traveled through the valley of the shadow of death ahead of us, showing us that there is nothing to fear. For all who are in Christ live eternally. We go from life to life. Though this mortal flesh shall die, we shall keep on living. And so the Lord Jesus leads us, not only in this life in righteousness, but leads us through the valley of the shadow of death, showing us that we shall live eternally with him. And so we follow his lead in this life. We follow his lead through the valley of the shadow of death. And even now, he leads us to the right hand of God. For even now, he is seated there. And according to Ephesians 2, we sit with him. The Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, leads us in this life, leads us into the life to come. Even now, we are with him at the right hand of the Father. And as we saw in Revelation chapter 7 last week, we see that our good shepherd leads us to the eternal resting place of all God's holy ones. Our shepherd leads us. There may be storms, and there may be persecutions, there may be valleys as he leads us, but he is leading us to a particular destination, that is to be with himself forevermore, and we can trust his leading each and every day. Jesus is the shepherd who calls out his own sheep and who leads them out. Now notice what the sheep do here. They follow Jesus alone. And they have a choice. Notice here in verse 5, a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him. There are many accounts of people who try to steal the flock of another shepherd. And the sheep may be confused for a moment, but one word or a few words from the true shepherd and the sheep go back to where their true shepherd is. They do not listen. They do not even put themselves in a position to listen to a false shepherd. A false shepherd comes to them and tries to confuse them. But these sheep follow. They flee from all pretenders. You and I, are we guarded about the kind of voice and influences we listen to? We are to flee the voice of the culture we live in. We are to flee from the voice of celebrities and the voice of the wisdom of the world. You may need to flee from the voice of a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You may need to flee from the writings of your chat friend on the internet. You may need to flee in order to follow after Christ as a good sheep does with a good shepherd. They listen only to him. Here's a question for us. Notice in verse 3 that he leads them out and they follow. As you look at the course of your life, would you say that you are following the footsteps of Jesus? Or are you going ahead of him
and asking him to come along. Are you making your own plans and then asking Jesus to bless along the way? Or are you seeking the voice of Jesus first in all your decisions? Jesus is the good shepherd who calls his own sheep and who leads us now and into eternity. And this shepherd, my friends, to sneak into what we'll look at some next week, this shepherd will not abandon you. Will not abandon you. Trust him. You trusted him at the beginning of your walk with him. Continue to trust him now as he leads. He is the good shepherd who has called you to himself and seeks to lead you even now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I would ask that you would come and shepherd our souls. That we would follow you, the one true shepherd. May we recognize you for who you are and not who we would want you to be. You are the shepherd of great power and strength. Of great intimate knowledge of your sheep. Lord, I pray that you would encourage your people with your word and with your spirit. Lord, sheep desperately depend on a shepherd to watch over them and call them. Sheep desperately need for the shepherd to lead them or they are in peril. May Jesus be more than a token to us. May Jesus be more than a good luck charm at the end of our prayers. May Jesus be more than some effeminate figure that we think of when we think of God. But may we think of Jesus in his power and might, lovingly calling his own to himself and keeping his own unto himself and leading us in paths of righteousness, leading us in ways that are pleasing to him. And may we not kick against our shepherd. May we not think little of our shepherd, but long to follow him with all our hearts. bless the reading of your holy word. Encourage your saints. And call sinful sheep to faith. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.